Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the season of Advent. To set the tone for our Advent services this season, we've asked Peter Clements, our resident composer, to pick up his stylus once again and create some original compositions. So this is the first. It's a very evocative prelude this morning that Peter has just completed composing, and it's based on the plain chant, Creator of the Stars at Night. So we hope you enjoy the prelude, and then we'll move into the service, and we hope it sets a very worshipful tone for you this morning. Thanks so much, and thank you to Peter for playing and for composing this piece.
Thank you. Welcome to St. James. Today is the last day to order your t-shirts or your merchandise for the 150th. If you want it before Christmas, we might do another order in January, but if you would like to do that, today's the day.
And I'm back. Today is also the last day for you to order your Funscript gift cards if you want them before Christmas. So please come and see Judy and I out in the Great Hall after. We have to get the order in today in order to get them to you for next week or the week after. The other thing is, if you ordered a Christmas wreath, you can pick those up at the garden shed at the back of the church. Barb will be out there with Duncan, and they will be able to help you with your Christmas wreath. Thank you.
Just wanted to invite everybody to breakfast next Sunday between the services, 9:30. Breakfast will be served. We'll have some fellowship between the two services and then going to church as normal. And I have those amazing sausages you all love ready to go.
From the Christ who was, is, and shall be, grace and peace be with you, and also with you.
One wrapped around in darkness, listening for your voice, listening for your voice, be born among us, be born among us, be waiting.
When hope hangs low in the human heart, you, loving Creator, kindle compassion, breathing life into the early embers of change and empathy.
We light the candle for hope, sending prayers high into the inky heavens and dreams deep into the human soul.
God of all hope, shine your light on the story of the saints who journeyed before us.
May the seeds they planted in the world, hope, peace, joy and love, take hold in our hearts and stretch towards the light.
We light a candle for hope.
May it light the way.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility. That on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may raise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of God's holy word.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, in the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come to help us. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of how long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. Show the light of your made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. And give us your saving help.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm well aware that there are at least three retired clergy in the congregation today, and this is the first Sunday of Advent. And in the church life, that is the beginning of a new liturgical year. And so I can't tell you the number of times I've been at this service in years past where somebody has gotten up here, dressed like I'm dressed now, and said, "Happy New Year." And everybody looked at each other, and either they humored the priest and went along with it, but I made myself a promise very early before I ever went into seminary that I would never stand at the top of the church chancels and give a sermon on Advent 1 that started with Happy New Year. So I've technically done that and still managed to get away with wishing everyone a Happy New Year in the church season. But it's true. You'll notice that there is a drastic shift in our worship today. The colors have changed. I get to wear this beautiful blue vestment, and the hangings have changed, and even the service music is a little bit different, and the tone of the church begins to shift. And we begin to recognize the importance of waiting. Advent is a season of waiting. In some of my conversations that I've had with you, some people have gotten up to me and said, "Michael, you don't have notes in front of you. How do you know what you're going to preach on every Sunday?" And the answer is very easy. It's because I preach the sermon that I need to hear, because I hate waiting. And so I'm going to give a sermon today about the virtues of waiting. How many of you like going on vacation somewhere? It's okay, you can raise your hands. There's a few people who don't like going anywhere. They're sitting in the back of the congregation, just not engaging at all. But no, we love to travel. How many of you have their favorite part of the vacation as sitting in the airport? Yes, I actually met someone once who loved waiting in airports. They found it this interesting liminal space where they were in between things and you weren't actually anywhere. You were just in this amorphous, ephemeral airport going somewhere. And they found that a unique experience. They seemed normal other than that. And sort of checked a mark and going, "Okay, you're one of God's special friends." Excellent. But the fact of the matter is, we find ourselves in a time of waiting. Advent, for years and years and years, has often been seen as a time where we get ready for Christmas. I'm one that gets cranky if I hear Christmas carols in the store before Remembrance Day. And there are priests who are absolutely militant that no Christmas carol shall be sung before Christmas. Advent music should be used in the season of Advent. Advent has this quality of it, of getting ready for Christmas. It's uniquely tied to it. The Altar Guild has already been in this beautiful worship space to get the Advent wreath up and the greens hung around so that we can prepare ourselves for Christmas Day. And yet the very first readings that we have nothing to do with Christmas. They are what the scholars like to call apocalyptic literature. They're talking about the end of all things. They're talking about Jesus coming back in glory to set things right. And well, on one hand, that's a little bit scary and a little bit intimidating, and I'm not quite sure how Jesus is going to come back. We do find ourselves as a Christian people in an in-between place, a liminal place, where Jesus has been born at Bethlehem and his words are ringing out in creation, and we're still waiting to figure out how God is going to bring about his promise. His promise of restoration to all creation. We're still waiting. We're still figuring it out. And that's not a very comfortable place. I am not very good at waiting. Some of you may know that Heather and I have just moved to London. We've sold our house in Regina, and that whole transaction went through. And thanks to Diane's help, we just purchased a new one and signed the documents all through on Monday. So we were without a house for a grand total of 2 weeks. We did not wait very long. There's something about waiting that is just frustrating. You want to get to the end destination. You want to get there and enjoy the blessings that come with it, and yet you're stuck in this in-between time of just sitting and waiting. And that is a deeply uncomfortable thing. We often use that time to prepare ourselves. We use that time to get ready, to dust out the old Christmas ornaments and put them up. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus told us to stay awake, to be prepared, that no one knows when God is coming back. There was a constant refrain in the scriptures today, and one that I find pretty helpful, about God hiding his face from us. It's nice to know that generations of faithful people for thousands of years before us have had that same experience. When I look at the news and I see the conflict in Israel and I see the conflict in Ukraine, I see the terrible things that happen all around the world, I can't help but look to heaven and say, Jesus, what is going on? Why is this happening when you could make things right? I think that I've been in that place before, where there's been health concerns or a loved one is passing, where you're sitting in this liminal place and you don't want the end to come. You don't want to know the results of those tests because then you have to deal with it. The church gives us the gift of this time, a time where we recognize the importance of not being there yet, so that we can live into the fullness of the human condition. Jesus came among us as that little child in Bethlehem who had to wait for things. And if Jesus, God incarnate, had to wait, then we know that waiting can be a holy thing. And so how do we, as a community, embrace this liminal time? How do we stay awake? I've known a few people who've slept through their flights at an airport. How they do that, I have no idea. Because I'm so anxious, I'm always looking at the departure gate. When is it going to change? Is it actually coming into gate C37, or have they switched it to the other side of the airport, and I have to go through security again? There is a certain amount of tension and anxiety that comes with waiting. And I think the message for us today is that that is okay. It's okay to not know how Jesus will come again. It's okay to not know how the whole situation will work out. But we keep awake. We keep present. We keep engaged with our faith, with the traditions and the rituals that we have, because it helps us be attentive to what God is doing. When Jesus came as a little child at Christmas, no one was expecting a little baby born and laid in a manger to be the Savior of Jerusalem and the Savior of the world. When God comes again, it will not be in any way that we expect. So let us keep attentive. Let us keep alert to see what God is doing. For God does new things, constantly creating. And in this time of Advent, let us prepare ourselves for the unexpected. Let us prepare ourselves for Christ coming again. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to please stand. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please adopt the position of prayer.
Holy One, you are coming at an unexpected hour. When you arrive with your life in a shopping cart and nowhere to go, find us awake. When you arrive with a disturbed spirit, find us awake. When you arrive on a tender kiss, find us awake. When you arrive as fear, wrapped in angry words on a social media post, find us awake. When you arrive in a state of shame for what you had to do to make it through the day, find us awake. When you arrive as a helpless baby, find us awake. When you arrive in a gender we do not understand, find us awake. When you arrive in the compassion of a stranger, find us awake. On this first day of our new year, we pray with and for Christians everywhere that our deep longing to build your household of love will lead us to work together with all our relations to honor and live in harmony with all of creation. We pray for church and faith leaders, especially upholding Bishop Todd, our Pastor Michael, Jerry, our deacon, and all clergy and people who serve this parish, this deanery, and this diocese. We pray for Michael Decay, who begins his new ministry at St. Michael and All Angels today. When you arrive with an unfamiliar language of prayer, find us awake. We pray for Canada, and for the First Nations that share this land. We pray for all who have authority or influence at all levels of government, in education, in healthcare and industry, to bring about change, to move into the direction of justice and peace. When you arrive demanding clean water and justice, find us awake. We pray for the world in its beauty and its brokenness, lifting up all the places of war and famine, regardless of their newsworthiness. We pray for hostages, asylum seekers, and victims. We pray for all who inflict harm on others out of duty or ignorance or hard-heartedness, for all in moral distress. When you arrive from a broken homeland, find us awake. When you arrive as the mountains quake, as fire kindles brushwood and floods proceed from the overheated earth, find us awake. We pray for this community, for London and this parish. We remember those who are ill or facing particular challenges or losses, those who have asked us to pray for them, especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Ashley, Jamie, and for those whose need is known to you alone. And we pray for ourselves, that in our lives your will may be done. We remember those who have died and those who are near the end of their earthly lives. When you arrive as one confused and angry, find us awake. When you arrive in the emptiness of loss, find us awake. You come and disrupt our comfort, but you never stop loving us. We are filled with gratitude for the blessings that you shower on us and for the hope you instill in our hearts. While we watch and wait in expectation of your coming again, we live in the mystery that you also are with us, in us, working through us now. You are being born again and again, revealing your divine realm today and in the time to come. Come, relentless hope, and find us awake. Amen. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we sin against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to his disciples, said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of love and power, your word stirs within us the expectation of the coming of your Son. Accept all that we offer you this day and sustain us with your promise of eternal life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants, Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will
recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. The gifts of God for the people of God.
The glory of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you have fed us with the bread of eternal life. Keep us ever watchful, that we may be ready to stand before the Son of Man. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And we say together, glory to God, whose power
working in us.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to wait for the Lord. Thanks be to God.